getting started. We'll have some thunder of our own in a minute. Yeah. 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 So, yeah, we've been going through the Exodus wandering. And we're at Mount Sinai, and Moses is up on, Mount Sinai, and God is speaking to him. What God is doing is he's trying to take a nation that doesn't know him, a people that really doesn't know how powerful, how holy, how righteous he is, and he's trying to teach them who he is. And so he's got him on, he took him through, they saw all the gods of Egypt get whipped one by one, saw the army of Egypt get whipped, they wandered through the desert for a couple months, and they got to Sinai, and God himself spoke to them, and shook the mountain, and they were terrified. He said, Moses, you go talk to him, if we hear him, we're going to die. And so Moses is up on the mountain, and God is giving Moses all of the rules and regulation of worship, trying to help to form this community into a holy nation. But while he's up there, 40 days, the people get nervous. They begin to turn towards the old things that they learn. They begin to turn towards idolatry. One of the things that disturbs me about Christmas now, and I found this picture. I thought that picture did good service to what bothers me about the way our culture thinks about Christmas. You've got every symbol and sign. You got Santa and trees and gifts and, bells and reindeer and all this stuff and no Jesus. And no Jesus. And so why I thought it was appropriate for us to think about, golden calves at Christmas time is that our culture has become an idolatrous culture. See, the people of God, they lived in an idolatrous world. They lived in Egypt for 400 years. They were surrounded by it. They were immersed in it. And what God was trying to do for them was pull them out of that world and teach them the truth about who he is. Teach them about a holy God. Teach them about a God who has a demand of righteousness. Teach them about how to worship God, how to follow God, how to bow before God, and how to not be idolaters. So here's Exodus 32. It says, when the people saw that Moses was gone so long and coming down from the mountain, they gathered around. And Aaron said, come. They gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up from Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. So here they are, 40 days away from Moses, 40 days after God spoke to them from the mountain, and they said, we can't hear God anymore, right? These people have turned towards their old things that they learned. They learned from Egyptian culture that, the calf god, the gods of Egypt, that they're powerful, that they give you what you want, right? And so right away, instead of following a holy God, they're going to turn towards what they were taught, what they lived and were immersed in their culture. They let that influence get into their hearts. They let that influence get into their minds. So much, can you imagine? And we do have a hard time thinking about this. These people heard the very voice of God. They saw his glory on top of the mountain, thunder, lightning, smoke. And yet, within 40 days, they turned towards idolatry. See, the Lord, again, was trying to show them that he is holy and mighty. He one by one defeated all the idols of Egypt. He was trying to show them that, he's a moral God. And one of the problems that people have with God today is they don't want a moral God. They don't want a God that tells them there's a way that you live your life that is pleasing to me, and there's a way that you live that is not pleasing to me. There's a way that is acceptable, and there's a way that's not acceptable. And that was, again, the Ten Commandments, the commands of God, taught them that, there is acceptable and unacceptable. He was about to show them the framework of salvation, the framework of worship. But in the Ten Commandments, and I put that back up here, in the Ten Commandments, there's a very large section given to not being immersed in idolatry, of not making idols, not bowing down to them, not worshiping them. Not doing what the world does. Not doing what Egypt taught them to do. Not being like them, but being holy. Being different. See, what God wants is for us to put Him in His rightful place. At the center of our lives. We're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. With all of our mind. With all of our soul. All of our strength. We're supposed to, you know, totally understand God is in the center. That's where He belongs. That's where He belongs. And here, they'd been taught by the world to, you know, not do that. To put other things, idols, in God's place. I wish I could say that, you know, once this is the first act of idolatry in the Old Testament by God's people where they willfully go and try to practice idolatry. I wish I could say, and that was it. God taught them a lesson, it was over. But there are 200 references of idolatry in the Old Testament going out throughout the entire Old Testament period. The people kept turning back, kept bowing down to these worldly, godless, demonic idols. It was a real problem, and it is still a real problem in our world. Idols, basically, I love this quote from Martin Luther. It says, whatever your heart clings to and relies upon, that is your God. Whatever your heart clings to and relies upon. See? Well, and the problem with idolatry is anything can become an idol. Anything. If I'm relying on my family to sustain me, if I'm relying on my, you know, in the gangster world, my gang, my boys, they're gonna sustain me. If I'm relying on my money to sustain me, or I'm relying on the one ticket I bought for the lotto to sustain me. But whatever it is, whatever you're hoping in, whatever you're setting your life on, whatever you rely upon, whatever you hope for, where's your security? Where do you find your love, your grace in the world? You know, who do we thank when things go well? Who do we trust when things aren't going so well? Where do we turn, right? Who do we call upon? So whatever your heart clings to, whatever it relies upon, that's your God. He says that trust and faith of the heart alone make both God or idol. In other words, when we trust and we believe in God, that makes God our God. When we put God in His rightful place, when we put Him in the center of our heart, in the center of our life, that's what makes Him your Lord. That's what makes Him your God. Your God. He is God apart from you, but what makes Him your God is when you set Him where He belongs, right? The other problem with idolatry, and I have this from Doug Stewart, and there's this list of things, but he says, you know, idolatry was easy. Idolatry, you know, it was basically about me. I get what I want. That was the nature of idolatrous religion was I go to a god to get what I want. I go to the idol to get what I want. So it was very materialistic. It was very much about me, and there was no moral requirement. There's no God looking to say, are you thinking right? Are you behaving right? Are you treating one another right? So that made it easy. You could hate your neighbor. You could do dirt. You could lie, cheat, steal. That didn't matter to the idols. The only thing you did with the idol was feed it. You went and threw stuff and, you know, you gave it food or you did other things in front of it to make it happy. You fed it. And you get stuff. And that's all it was. There was nothing, there was no transformation, no need of living right or being right. So it was easy. Everybody did it. You know what? I mean, you think about this crowd out with Moses and they'd heard the voice of God. But you know, then you know, we're not sure about where Moses is. The cloud has gone away. What are we gonna do? You know, everybody in Egypt can't be wrong, can they? Can that whole world be wrong? I mean, after all, they're the most powerful nation in all the world. They had the most powerful army, you know, most powerful economy. That many people, they just can't be wrong, can they? So let's go back and do that again. Let's make a calf. Let's make a calf and worship that, right? There's no need for endurance with an idol. There's no, you know, what God was doing with his people was saying, trust me. He brought them out to a desert. There's no water. There's no food. And he's saying, learn to trust me. Learn to know that I'm with you no matter what it looks like. You're thirsty and it's a dry land, but God's with me. He'll give me water. Learn to trust me. That's what he was trying to teach. Well, with idols, again, there's none of that because, you know, the only thing you do is I'm thirsty. Hey, idol, give me water. You see? And so you had this reversion to their old culture, doing what everybody else did. I think our culture is becoming more and more idolatrous, American culture. I think I see it more clearly at this time of year than any other time of year. I get sick watching commercials. I get, you know, I mentioned the Apple commercial where they're singing, you know, it's all about freedom. You know, well, it's a nice sentiment. Or it's all about peace that begins with me. I think Coca-Cola did that one. But it's, you know, it's the idea of stripping away anything spiritual, anything moral, you know, that other than what comes out of you. It's what you want. It's what we want. There's no God. There's no, you know, Father in heaven, creator, purposeful God who made you for a reason to live before him, to love as he wants you to love, and that kind of thing. We hear about indulgence. Greed. We learn to trust in stuff. It's a sales pitch. Christmas has become one big nasty sales pitch. More than half of the goods in the world are sold at this time of year. More than half of the goods are sold. Now everybody's feeling really bad because, you know, I shouldn't have gone so much on Amazon. I know I shouldn't have bought that thing. That's not the purpose of this. I'm just simply trying to say that we live in a godless society, an idolatrous society. It's anti-God and pro-idol. That's what I'm saying. That's where we live. And we don't really want that to be who we are. Look what happened. Aaron, you know, he tells him, he says, take off your gold earrings and bring those to me. We'll melt them down and I'll make a calf, right? And so the people came and they took off their earrings and they melted it down and he fashioned it with a tool and made a calf. And then he says, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. The worst thing that about idolatry, the worst possible thing that we can end up doing, that any human can end up doing, because we're not going to do this, is give the glory that belongs to God to something else. We do not give glory to people that belongs to God. We do not give glory to a statue that belongs to God. We do not give the glory to the TV preacher that belongs to God. We do not give what belongs to God to anybody but God. Anything else is idolatrous. If you know, and I know that some folks here, God has changed your life. God is working in you and doing great things. And you know, you want to praise the church or you want to praise the pastor. But I would tell you this, you need to praise God. You need to thank God because Jesus Christ is the Savior. And God is the one who loves you and made you and bringing you in. And it's not about this facility or the guy up here in the pulpit. It's about Jesus Christ whom we preach. It's about the good news. It's about the scripture. It's about the work and handiwork of God. And we should praise God. And we should celebrate God. And we should thank God. These poor people, these poor ignorant people, they had heard the voice of God. They had seen the hand of God destroy one idol after another. They saw the Lord stand between them and a mighty army and wipe out the army. They saw God bring them water in a desert. They saw God bring food from heaven when they were hungry. And these poor, pathetic people turned back to Egypt. They turned back to the world. They turned back to idolatry, and they were given glory to a stinking piece of metal instead of to God. It is the worst possible thing we could ever do, is give the glory that belongs to God to something or someone else. It's a crime against God. It is a shame. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. What's sad about this is the commitment that you see. People are so committed to idolatry. It's amazing. I mean, when I hear about these cults and you know, guys that you know, give us everything you have, and they give up everything they have, and let's go off into the wilderness. Yeah, Dre, now drink the Kool-Aid, and they die. Giving themselves to filth, giving themselves to lies. These people, they took their treasure, they took the gold out of their ears and they melted it down. They gladly gave up their treasure to make it. And what's really sad about this was Aaron, the high priest, the guy called by God to lead, spiritually lead the people, he joined in. That to me is the saddest note of this text, is that Aaron, the one who should have stood in the middle and said, no, haven't you seen what God did? And he was supposed to lead them away from idolatry, and he just joined right in with them. That's a sad, sad thing. And again, we see too much of that in our world. People wanting fame, people wanting treasure of the world, and so they give in to worldly stuff. The worst part of it is, again, giving glory to someone or something that belongs to God. Then they partied. Part of idolatry is partying. Partying. That's literally how you could translate the word. They partied. They had fun. They got in front of their idols. That's what made idolatry so much fun. Because basically, you would have a party in front of the idol. And it's like, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, it was like this total fleshly, worldly, you know, boy, this is a religion I can sink my teeth into, because it's just about having a good time and you know, enjoying myself and getting what I want. And it literally sounds like a lot of what happens in churches, from what I hear. There's a lot of that going on. Partying instead of praying. Partying instead of bowing before a holy God and saying, God, help me to be more like you. I need your grace. I need your strength. You know? They rose up to play. Nothing to restrain them. Nothing to tell them that it was wrong, except for the voice of God that they had heard. And they rejected it. They turned away. Idolatry is terrible. It's a terrible sin. The Lord knows about it. The Lord sees everything. He understands. And you just look, you know, the Lord says, go down, because the people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have quickly turned away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it. And I said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. There's a book that some of you guys know, I really respect a guy named Greg Beale, and he wrote a book called We Become What We Worship. And part of that is he talks about, this is the first time that word stiff-necked shows up. And the idea of becoming as rigid as the golden calf that they worshiped. I mean, again, think about what he's saying. He said they would not turn their head. God was trying to say to them, listen, folks, follow me. Turn your head. Go this direction, right? We would say, like, repent. Repent. Turn towards God in a way. And he said, you know, in effect, he's saying they were so much like their idol. They were so worldly. They were so much enamored with Egyptian culture. They couldn't turn their head. They couldn't do what God told them to do. They were stiff-necked, headed towards Egypt, headed towards the world, loving the idolatry that they had been brought up in. And by that, by that very nature of that, they were rejecting God. And so that term stiff neck, you know, in Isaiah, he talks about the people of Israel. He says, you won't be able to hear, you won't be able to see and understand, right? Just like their dumb idols. Idols can't hear and they can't see. They can't understand. And it's another thing. When you worship something, you become that. Think about all the people who love money. What do they look like? You know, $50,000 watch, you know, Cadillac Escalades, right? What I mean, you know, because they become what they worship. Y'all know some folks that love the drugs and alcohol. What do they look like? You know, they become what they worship. You know, and again, why is it so important to worship God? Why is it so important to keep God at the center of your heart? Because you become what you worship. If you want to become a child of God, you set your heart on God. You set your mind on God. You set your strength and your industry on God. You call upon God and you will become. You will become more like Him. But you worship the stuff out in the world. And I mean, unfortunately, there's not enough room or time to list everything that could be an idol. You will become like that. Stiff-necked, unable to move, idol worship. It's a sad deal. And God knows it. And God tells Aaron, "Leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them, then I will make you into a great nation." Now, God was not going to destroy Israel. Some of you say, "Oh, God changed his mind because Moses interceded." God is showing us, what does idolatry deserve? What is the judgment for idolaters? When the gavel falls in the judgment seat of God against idolatry, it deserves destruction. It deserves to be wiped out. And all those who are stiff-necked, who won't go to God, but were fascinated with the world or fascinated with their idol, you know, there is nothing but judgment for them. And so God speaks. He says to him, he says, "You know, back up, Moses, because I'm about to give these people what they deserve." And then Moses, of course, appeals to him. He says, "Lord, what about your integrity? What about what the world would say about you? What about your righteousness? What about your justice? What about your purposes?" And of course, the Lord, being who he is, it's not that Moses changed God or changed his mind. He begs him based upon his glory, based upon his reputation. That's what glory is. Enhancing the reputation of God. Praising God. Don't give that reputation to anybody but God. And Moses is standing there in the face of God saying to God, "Father, you know, your name, your glory, your honor is what needs to be looked at here. Nothing else." God is full of compassion. God is full of mercy. God is full of grace. And it says, you know, the Lord relented. Meaning that the Lord had mercy. He gave them space, even though they deserved death. He gave them space. He was giving them time to repent. And we'll see, unfortunately, later how that works out for them. He was giving them time to learn about God. He was giving them time to turn away from their idols. He was giving them time, if you will, to soften their necks so they could turn towards God. He was giving them time to become the holy nation that he called them to be, that nation, that kingdom of priests. When I think about, again, where we are in our society and how I think our society is about as stiff-necked as it can be, not here, but out there. We're surrounded by people, they think they know what Jesus is and they don't want to hear about it. They think they know about God and they say it's old-fashioned, that's, you know, back in the old days when people were stupid, they needed that stuff. We're too sophisticated, we're too smart. We've grown up now. We've evolved. One of their favorite words. We've evolved to something better. They don't want, they have become totally stiff-necked. So now, you know, you're not even allowed to say Merry Christmas. You're not even allowed to mention Jesus. You're not allowed, of course, to have a nativity scene on public land. You are only allowed to keep it in your little closets. It's kind of funny. We're letting the homosexuals out of the closets and the Christians are being pushed into the closet. This is a stiff-necked, cold-hearted, anti-God, anti-Christ culture that we live in. The warning for us in this isn't, you know, oh man, have nothing to do with Christmas. The warning for us is to make Christmas about what it should be about to us. To make Christmas about Jesus Christ. To have God in the center of our heart, in the center of our life, and to just shut out the idol worshiping junk that they want to attach to it. Christmas to me is about God's salvation. It is about God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that God saw me a sinner, someone who was His enemy, and He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for my sins so I could have a relationship with Him. It's about God giving us the greatest gift ever given. It's about Bethlehem. It's about Mary and Joseph and Herod and wise men and angels and shepherds. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. We give because He gave. We love because He loved. We celebrate because He gave us life. He gave us community. He gave us peace. He gave us so much of a relationship with God and so much of a relationship with each other. It's not that we can't celebrate Christmas, or we can't give gifts, or we can't enjoy the season. We can do it even better because we have Christ at the center of our heart. We have God in the center of our lives. We have God in the center of our homes. And when we celebrate, we're not going to get lost in the sea of idolatry. We're going to be celebrating what good God has done for us, because Christ and God are in the center of who we are. We keep God in His rightful place. We keep God in His rightful place. The center of our heart, center of our life, center of our being. And in that, we can do great celebration. We can have great fun. I look forward to hanging out with people and celebrating with them and enjoying our company together. I enjoy sharing, you know. It's a great thing. I think about what all the good that God has shared with us. And so sharing, that's a good thing. But not as the idolaters do. Not as the world does. Not as Apple does, or Coca-Cola, or Amazon. But as God's children. As God's children. John, in his little book, at the end, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he says, "Children, dear children, flee from idolatry." You know, that was written 1,500 years after Moses, after the calf. And here it is 2,000 years later. Children, please, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Give God the glory He deserves, and do not give that glory to anything or anyone else. The glory belongs to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank You so much because You've given so much. You've done so much in our hearts and in our lives. And we pray in the name of Jesus that You will be glorified. That You will be glorified in us, O Lord. That You'll bless us, keep us, and continue to have mercy upon us, Almighty God, Your children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth, Lord Jesus, to die for us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We just pray, Lord, in our own hearts that we would only give glory to you, Lord Jesus, that we would only praise you and give you thanks for everything you've done for us, Lord God. We pray we wouldn't turn to other things, Lord Jesus, or give credit to anything else for the love that you've given us, for the change that we've seen in our own lives, Lord Jesus. We pray that all that glory would go to you, Lord.
Yes.
Just help us to remember that at this time especially. And as we're with our families this week, we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would just help us to remember you, Lord Jesus.